There we go.
Welcome to Tear Gas and Gumdrops, the podcast about the pain and sweetness of ministry and mission. My name is Chris Morton, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
My name is Kyle Sapp, coming to you from Antioch, California. So we are going to make a third attempt today, somewhat ironically, doing a podcast on failure.
Right.
So, you know, and I think it's kind of fitting. We couldn't, if we did a podcast on failure and it was a booming success, we would just be bad people.
Yeah, hypocrites of a sort.
Hypocrites. Yeah. Like hippos.
Well, okay, so.
Talented hippos.
Well, if we start here, I reached out to you wanting to talk about this, and one of the reasons why is because I feel like I've experienced failure. I feel like I talk about it, and I feel like I get a lot of weird responses to even bringing it up, at least from churchy people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because I remember you telling me about it.
Draft number one. Yeah, basically people being like, oh, don't call it a failure, or something like that.
Yeah, that hasn't been my experience.
People are like, yes, Kyle, you have failed.
Well, and I think we are so, you know, we're always being shaped, we're always being molded by our experiences, and I think there's a certain level of maturity that comes over time that sees failure as a learning opportunity.
Right.
And it's hard to, like, for me, like, just thinking about, like, you want to share, like, stories of failure, and it's really hard for me to kind of think through those because I don't normally classify them as such. Mm. I tend to just, it happened, it didn't go the way I wanted it to, what can I learn and do better?
Okay.
But also you could say as a society, we are way too touchy-feely and carry too much about people's feelings, and so it's the whole everyone gets a trophy mentality.
Right. Well, I want to come back to that because it sounds like you have a really healthy internal understanding of failure, so maybe we'll come back to that in a minute. But no, my experience has just been a lot of times when I've experienced things that I'm willing to call a failure, things that go in ways that were not what I wanted. I'm not excited about how they end up, and I share this with people. And a lot of times people will say, oh, don't call it a failure. And I think that a lot of people are afraid to talk about failure because they think that when I say, oh, I failed at this, people think that what I'm really meaning when I say that is Chris Morton is a failure. I am a failure. There's something wrong and failed about me. Go ahead.
Well, and I think people think that because, one, that just tends to be the natural way we process information, that we define ourselves by the things that we do, and we define ourselves by the things that we attempt and don't do.
Right, right.
And some of that is just, again, I think it's human nature. Plus, I mean this as nicely as humanly possible, you have had a lot of failure in your life. And which is something I really respect about you, that you seem to not understand this concept of limits, but you always try and you strive, and so there could easily be a number of friends who are just like, we don't want Chris to fall into this depressing black hole.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Not to say that, you know, you've led a life of, you know, just mediocre, you know, never achieving your goals.
It feels that way sometimes.
Just saying that you definitely have had, and you own this, that you've had, you know, rocky life course.
Yeah.
In some ways.
That's sweet. I appreciate you saying that. And maybe, okay, I have actually never thought of that before. I really appreciate you saying that. Is that maybe what I was going to say is I feel like people's fear of calling something failure has been really unhelpful for me. And what you're saying is part of it is like people trying to protect me when I say that and keep me from focusing on the wrong. And it comes from a place of love is what I'm hearing from you. And that's nice.
It's nice. It's not helpful, but it's nice. Exactly. You know.
Yeah, and I never thought about it before, because when I say I tried to do something and I failed at it, and people were like, oh, don't say that. I'm like, well, what would you call it? You know, and that's my reaction. But you're saying, what you're saying is that other people are like, oh, we've got to, you know, love. Here's my least favorite saying that church people use. We got to just really love on Chris right now because he needs some love awning.
That's like the most creepy and inappropriate phrase ever that we somehow are okay with using, as long as it's in reference to churches.
We should have a whole episode on like bad Christianese and
I don't know if we need to. I think John Acuff already wrote that book.
Yeah, lots of people have been there, but man, love on, what does that even mean? Okay. That's a failure of a saying. But okay, so
yeah.
Let's, for the sake of this podcast, let's define what we're talking about when we say failure.
Well, it's kind of hard because there's that simple definition of not achieving your desired goal. Mm-hmm. You know, like you make a plan. I saw this great video. Speaking of people who make plans, the guy said it's on YouTube, I guess. The guy was like, I want to inspire you to just believe in yourself, make a plan, and follow through. And to inspire you, I'm going to break this board over my head. And then it's a 2-minute video of the guy just pounding his head into the board, never breaking. It's so hysterical. It's almost too hysterical to be true. Or maybe it's too sad to be true that there's somebody out there who actually
just keeps
did this and failed.
Just keeps hitting himself.
And just keeps going.
Yeah.
So there's that one aspect of failure that's like that. But I think also another thing is, and this is perhaps harder to be aware of, is sometimes we succeed, but I still think we actually fail because we succeeded at crappiness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's... But keep going. I know what you mean, but keep going.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if the goal that you have is mediocre at best, and you made that goal because you were lazy, or because you just didn't dream bigger, or you know, whatever reason that, or it's just a morally, you know, void attempt. Like, you can be a successful CEO, and you know, there are lots of ways you can scratch and claw your way to the top. I mean, you've succeeded, but at being human, you failed. And so in your success, you are actually failing humanity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think we fail, and that's actually better for us because that makes us realize that the things we were pursuing were not good things.
Right.
And we're not helpful to society or to just ourselves or to faith or to church.
Right.
Well, anyway, I've talked enough. So, yeah, your turn.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so let's say then that part of defining failure means you have to have a specific goal. Like, it's not a failure if you had a feeling and you didn't get your feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's only failure if there was a specific goal and you didn't achieve it.
Yeah.
But... within that, there has to be a depth of, I don't even know how to say this, like a depth of purpose, like a meaningful enough purpose for the goal to even exist. You know, it's like, let's say there's an alternative universe where Hitler wins World War II. And he succeeds at his goals. Well, he's still a failure as a human being and as a leader. I hope that's not too soon, but
Yeah, okay. Then, so let's say there's an alternative world where Genghis Khan,
Right.
if, you know, let's go back. No, yeah, no, and I think that's a real big struggle,
Okay,
is
well,
knowing what's a worthy goal.
yeah, and talking about, ridiculous world rulers of the past, there's that, famous story, who knows if it's true, about Alexander the Great, who, when he finished conquering, wept. This was Alexander the Great, right? I'm gonna wreck this story. So
I have no idea.
Alexander the Great, like, conquers, I don't know, India or whatever the furthest of his reach was, and wept because there were no more lands left to conquer. And the point of the story is, like, he felt like he was, even Alexander the Great felt like a failure. But it's like, is being, is conquering the world and forcing most of the Eurasia into slavery, is that a worthy goal? Like, maybe you were a failure long before that. And so, okay, so let's, great story. I'm going to congratulate myself for remembering that, sort of. But
Good job.
that sort of failed. Okay, so ministry context then. How, and I do want to get to some personal stuff at some point
Sure,
here.
sure.
But what do you think then? How do we define, I guess, or what we're saying in part is that in order to define failure, we have to define success as well.
I guess, yeah.
So, yeah, okay, hey, now we've got something to talk about. So, in your situation, you doing youth ministry, being a dad, being a husband, being a World of Warcraft level 8 paladin. I don't know if that's a
I'm
thing.
level 100 paladin. Thank
Excuse
you,
me.
sir.
Excuse me. What, how do you define then success for you?
Well, I guess success for me as a dad will be that my son grows up knowing that I love him and support him. And, success as a minister is, on some level, for me at least, it's about whether or not I am proclaiming the wonder and power of the resurrection of Jesus. Whether I'm convincing people or not is not necessarily my goal. I mean, I want people to fall in love with Jesus as I fall in love with him, but I really tap into the parable of the sower as a really good, and I think a healthy model. For how ministry should be worked, where you're throwing seed, and then we're trusting God to bring growth. I mean, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so a question I ask myself, just in terms of youth ministry, is have I thrown good seed? Am I throwing seed? Am I throwing good seed? And sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not. And that's like, so last month we were going to do this. Prayer vigil lock-in with another church. And I was really excited about it because we haven't done a lock-in since the first Avengers movie came out. And
Because
because we did it a lot.
that's how we judge things. There was
No, no,
before and
no.
after Avengers.
No, it was.
AA, BA and AA.
No, the lock-in was a Marvel movie marathon
Ah,
in
got it, got it,
preparation for the
got
Avengers movie. So we watched all of the,
it.
build-up movies. That's the reason I remember that. And I hate lock-ins.
Oh,
So,
no.
and so I was really excited, but then none of my students signed up to go. All for various reasons, all for very good reasons. They were all busy. They had stuff going on that night, so they just couldn't make it. But I felt for a while they're like a failure. I was like, oh man, this is my first event where nobody's signed up to go. Nobody wants to go. Like, what does that say about me as a youth minister? Because I was totally like, I was tired. I mean, I was in the middle of the busiest season of my life in February. And one of my friends goes, "Wait, you've been in youth ministry 8.5 years, and you've had one event where kids didn't want to go? That so you have like a win-loss ratio of like 60 to 1." I was like, "Yeah, okay, I can do that." I can win. I can live with that. That's okay. Maybe I'm not that bad, but that actually wasn't, that was neither a win nor a loss. But I was seeing it as a loss. But But my wins are those moments where I just get to tell a kid about the resurrection, and I try every Sunday to draw back to Jesus's resurrection and how wonderful that is. And if I don't do that, then I feel like, or if I haven't tried to equip them for doing that, and that's also a point that we need to make also, is that ministry success is equipping to be seed sowers. And if I'm not doing that, then I feel like I'm not living into who God has called me to be.
Man, you said a lot of things there.
I did.
But this
I'm
is
good.
recorded, so I won't try to repeat it all. But yeah, like, okay, so what I heard you saying is you have your ideal success, but sometimes you feel a sense of failure, and that reveals some other goals that maybe you hadn't even noticed you had, right? Like you or you knew, but like they're not your best goals. So like it, and it's there and it's underneath, and I think that's, you know, that's the truth for me. That's why I mean, I feel the same thing all the time. One of the guys that helps coach our young church, a guy that I talk to every couple of weeks, and he said, you can't base your sense of self on whether or not somebody else feels like getting out of bed on a Sunday morning. And that just blew me away, because it was, I mean, because I do, you know, if I walk in and like be in church planning world, and I think we've got some church planners listening on, you know, there is this sense for a while that like any Sunday this could be over. And you know, if you walk in and for whatever reason there are less bodies in the room that Sunday morning, you're like, ah, it's all over. Everything I've worked towards is meaningless. You know, and my what I just I found it so helpful what he said is like, you just can't base your sense of who you are and what whether or not you're succeeding on whether or not somebody decided to get out of bed on Sunday morning. And sure enough, this past week, run into a coffee shop, a guy who I consider a good friend, was part of our community for a really long time. And he just said, hey, I don't feel like getting out of bed on Sunday mornings. Sorry. And so, yeah, you know, I could, that's not my goal though. That's not who I want to be. I don't want to be the person who judges the value of their church community by how many bodies are in the room. I don't want to be that way, but come Sunday morning, sometimes I feel that way. And so that kind of betrays really, I guess, you know, my understanding of success and failure, and maybe even some of my identity, and you know, I guess an area that I to use big church word, maybe that's where I need some sanctification there. But yeah, I think we have our true goals, and then some things that are there, and we need to just own
Well,
up
and
to.
it's not to say that, sure, and it's not to say that those other goals, those secondary goals, those tertiary goals aren't important. You know,
One of my
it is
goals is to
important.
use the word tertiary as much as possible.
There you go. You know, because in reality, the larger goals are often fulfilled in the pursuit of the smaller goals anyway. Having somebody involved in your church community does create an environment where growth can happen within that church community. And you know, having students come to events does create environments where I can point them to the resurrection and help them understand how the resurrection connects to life. So tertiary goals are good, as long as they're held within the proper context. And that perhaps is the hardest part, is keeping things within a healthy context. And that's true for all of life.
I've got a story or two in mind. I don't know if you do, of some pretty big fails. I'll tell one serious one and one funny one. I think it's funny. I don't know if it'll be funny to anyone else.
it most of the time never is, but that
No.
shouldn't be the reason why you shouldn't tell the story.
Exactly. So one is that so one I guess my one of my early gigs out of college, I was on staff at this church as youth minister, and I'd only been there a few weeks, and we were offered, it was kind of a smaller church, and we were offered to go with them, go with a this larger church on a mission trip to Mexico. And now at that time, I had never been to Mexico. I had never driven a bus before, and I had only been at this church for about 6 weeks, so I didn't really have a relationship with anyone there. And we were supposed, it's your classic, you know, go and build a house in Mexico mission trip. And so, you know, I kind of rally the troops, get about a dozen kids and a volunteer to go with us. And I would say probably by the end of the first day, everybody hated me. The volunteer thought that I hated the kids for things that I was saying or some things that I did. The actual building project that we were supposed to do, like we could not figure out how to do it. You know, I'm not exactly a handyman's man. I know a little bit more about Age of Ultron than I do about like a hammer, screwdriver, power saws. So yeah, I
Just
was
quit while you're
yeah, I
ahead.
was in over my depth, and I'm driving this. I've never driven a van before, and suddenly I've got the, you know, 18 young souls in this van, and we're driving through Mexico. We drove from Texas to this city in Mexico about 12 hours. And so anyway, just the whole week was miserable. The kids were mad at me. The volunteer didn't talk to me for months, and it did not get me started on the right foot there, in that position. And which obviously I'm not still there, so.
Yeah, I remember one year as a summer intern, we took a trip to Six Flags, and this the parents who were kind of the parent volunteers who were very involved in the program, and who had kids in the program, were said. Didn't want to stay overnight. They wanted to leave right after the park so they could save a little bit of money on the van rental or something like that. And I remember pulling the parents aside, like in talking it over with the students, instead of being a leader and making a call, and instead of being humble and listening to parents, I asked the kids what they wanted to do, which is always essentially forcing your hand. And I told the parents I was really frustrated with them because I feel like they didn't have my back. And I should not have said that. It ruined my relationship with that family, probably to this day. I don't even know. It was bad. I shouldn't have involved the kids in that kind of higher level decision making. And I honestly, I shouldn't have died on that hill. Like, I think as ministers, we fail the kingdom a lot just because we choose to die on the wrong hills. That like it's not important. It's important in some ways that we create environments where people should be free to be who they are and feel welcomed and feel relaxed. But at the same time, me wearing flip-flops to church is not a hill I should die on, which in my younger years I would have wanted to die on that hill.
Oh, yeah, because you're not wrong.
No, yeah, I'm not wrong, but at the same time, it's not important. It is the specific application of the goal of having healthy environments. That's not all that important. Whether you wear shoes or not is not going to hold someone back from the kingdom. And if it is, then there's something else going on there. Like, oh, I
Or the
can't
kingdom
see your
isn't what I
toes.
thought it was.
Oh, I can't see your toes. I cannot follow a risen savior. Like, nobody's gonna think that. And that's a failure that we do, is where we choose, and it goes back to that whole thing about having good goals, is that we die. Youth ministers die on the dumbest of hills. all the time.
I had a I used to write small group curriculum for this church. And so I would get a script from the pastor's upcoming sermon, and I would take it and look at the passages and look at what he's talking about and write curriculum. And one week, he decided to preach on something that I really did not agree with theologically. I thought that it was a betrayal of a lot of the other leaders who didn't agree with that speaker, preacher, person either. And I went back and forth with it. I've, what are you getting?
I'm laughing at your use of the word. I felt like it was a betrayal. Like, very often when I use words like that, I feel like I'm already over-exaggerating
Oh,
something.
yeah. Well, and
But
okay, so.
I can also just imagine young Chris,
Right.
like, sitting
Tune
in front of a mirror. For whatever reason, you're in front of a mirror, just like with your Muppet grin, and it's all clean shaven, but your hair is just kind of wild because you can't afford a haircut at this phase in your life, and you're just like deep in the thralls. I can just picture this.
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting. It's a good
Man.
visual.
So anyway, so this individual, well, I'll just lay my cards out on the table because there's a funny part, and I don't want to miss a good joke.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to miss a joke, let's be clear.
Right.
Good,
So
maybe.
yeah. So anyway, basically this was about so I personally agree with a lot of what's called Arminianism, as far as how I think eternity works out and the relationship between God and man. I don't think God necessarily forces us around. And this particular sermon was about what I consider God forcing people to their eternal destination. I felt really uncomfortable with that. I didn't feel like it represented most of the church either. So I go back and forth, and my immediate supervisor, who was a great mentor to me, he says to me, this is apropos to what you just said. He said, Chris, I understand where you're coming from. And if you have, you have to remember that if you have hills you're willing to die on, you will never live in community.
That's a good point.
I keep going back to that again and again. So anyway, I
And
went.
I feel like there's some kind of really cheesy, memorable line we could make up here. Like, you don't need to die on a hill because Jesus has already.
Next to two thieves.
That would be a
Has he
great bumper
loved you
sticker.
this much?
But it is from
Stretch
the
out
west.
your arms.
Anyway, let's not
Okay,
start
so,
mocking
but
other
the,
Christians. That's
right.
failure in and of itself.
Well, speaking of mocking other Christians, so I finally end up emailing the guy and
You
just,
die on the hill.
and I tried not to die on the hill, but he replies back to me. And he says, "Don't worry, Chris, I'm an Armenian." And that's funny in writing. It's not funny in speaking because he wrote
Because,
out Armenian, which is an ethnicity or nationality. I'm not sure. But it's definitely not a theological persuasion.
I think it's an ethnicity.
Yeah, Armenian as in from Armenia, not as in Arminian, a follower of, of
Yeah.
Arminius.
Wow, you got burned with a
Yeah, was
pun.
it a, well, I'll never know. Was it a pun or was he just, he wasn't really aware of. Yeah.
I'm sure it was just, well, it's a play on words either way. Anyway, let's see. Other classic Kyle failures. The first time we did 30-hour famine, 30-hour famine is, I mean, it is what it says. It's an activity with your students where you don't eat for 30 hours, and it's to raise empathy and raise awareness of what it's like to not eat. Because an American, most of us don't really understand that concept. There's a great Louis C.K. Saturday Night Live monologue that'll explain all of that. Go look it up on YouTube. Anyway, so the first time we did it, there were a couple of kids there that were just really annoying me, and not that they really annoyed me just in general, but add to the fact that I was hungry, and this was at like 2 in the morning, and so I'd yelled at them a couple of times to go to bed. not yelled, but I firmly said, okay, we need to go to bed because we got to get up in the morning. Let's do this. Stop being a dunderhead. Well, I got woken up again. And so I got woken up a third time. And so on the third time, I was angry. And it was the first time students had ever heard me drop the F-bomb. And some other choice words, which, at 3 a.m., I think even Jesus may have, that's probably when Jesus told the Pharisees they were like whitewashed tombs. It was like after Jesus didn't get a really good night's sleep.
Or Jesus is walking down from the mountain, and he sees the apostles sleeping there who are supposed to be praying with him in the middle of the night. He's like, "Are
Oh,
you
yeah.
fucking kidding me?"
Yeah, there's some heresy borderlines in this conversation right now. That may be failure in and of itself.
Incarnation.
Yeah,
Incarnation.
there's a word. So anyway, and I went back and I apologized,
Right, good.
which the kids were like, "You don't have anything to apologize for. We were being annoying. We get that. Plus, we hear that language all the time." Which, I try to. That was really in a point in my ministry where I was beginning this shift as an adult of saying, okay, I'm no longer just a teenager, so I'm not going to talk like a
Right.
teenager.
And you're
And
not here to have fun.
that was a huge step back at that time. But I don't cuss in front of my kids often. I still don't, and I don't think I have in a while.
That's good.
I can't remember. I just assume not. I haven't. So yeah, I mean, sometimes you have failures that are funny, and I think the biggest thing for me, and this is why it's hard to remember failures, is because I see them as learning opportunities. And I don't mean that in some kind of like really lame cliche way. I seriously have worked really hard to own that I'm gonna make mistakes, I'm gonna be flawed, and I'm not gonna wallow in that. I'm just going to learn and be a student of life.
A student, that sounds familiar. Who else talked about being a student?
My professors in college. Oh, and Jesus.
And Jesus, yeah, that
And
whole
Jesus.
discipleship thing.
That whole discipleship thing.
Yeah, okay.
Which, if anything, I think, part of what makes Mark's gospel so beautiful is that the apostles look like idiots. And maybe that's me being too harsh, but I feel like they come across pretty dunderheadedly.
Well, here's where I want to get to. I really want to be okay with talking about failure because I think if we don't, we'll never get better. And I think that this fear of hurting someone's feelings or damaging someone's self-esteem is, and we should do another episode on the whole shame versus guilt thing. But
Yeah.
shame is this whole idea that like or
No,
a
no, no.
different
No, 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 no. If we're doing a
teaser.
whole other
Okay.
podcast on it, don't define it. We'll define that in the next
Yeah.
podcast.
Yeah, but just saying, let's make it very clear. We do have primary goals and tertiary goals, and we want to get them all done. And we want to define them well enough. And that saying that we didn't get where we wanted to go is okay, because that's how we're going to get better. And I need that. And I need honest people who know me well enough and have a relationship. I need you, Kyle, because you do this for me, to say, I don't, I hear you talking, but I don't hear you sounding like who you want to be. And calling me out on that, because I'm never going to become that person. And from a ministry and mission perspective, our church will never become the church that we feel called to be by God if we're not being honest about what that is and where we fall short. And we just gotta get over all this stigma and just talk about it.
And we see that in the Bible all the time, this concept of confessing your sins to one another
Oh.
and finding healing. And
Yeah.
it's the idea that you by owning the brokenness, it's just like when you go to a doctor, when you admit that you're sick, then the doctor helps you work through that. By owning the brokenness, by owning the flaw, you start the path towards healing.
What would you want to say to someone who is in ministry or considering ministry or considering leading ministry or mission work or any of that, or just in their own lives, and they feel like they've failed, or maybe they even feel like they are a failure, what would you want to tell that person?
Well, I think the first thing would be, I don't think I'd want to tell that person anything. I think if they're feeling like they want to leave ministry and quit, I would just like to sit down and listen to them. Mm-hmm. And just talk and not talk and just be a place where they can get out all that they need to get out.
Yeah.
And then if they needed me to say anything and they invited me to speak into their situation, mm-hmm. I would tell them that God is still able to work through them. And if they want to leave ministry because they feel called to another lifestyle path, great. If you want to leave ministry because you've made mistakes, well, that's life. You're going to make mistakes in all areas of your life. I would just simply tell them that life is filled with failures and brokenness. That is why we have the cross.
Yeah.
We have the cross because we are failures and we are broken. And I think it's those moments when we recognize that, and I'm pretty sure Paul says this, that in our weakness, well, I guess God said it, you know, in our weakness, his strength is perfected. I think those weak moments are those moments where we're finally able to see that connect, that voice of God, to hear that voice of God that has always been speaking to us. We've just been too busy to notice it.
Yeah.
And depending on what the problem was, I would also maybe consider telling him to suck it up, Nancy. put on his big boy pants. And...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that did not work out the way you wanted. Yeah, no, that would not help me. But there is some distance. I hate it, but because it sounds so cliche, but there is this thing of, like, you will laugh at this moment. Like, you feel terrible now. But you know, and I think of that trip to Mexico, like that, everything about, the first time I told you that story, you're like, Chris, you shouldn't have been in that situation. I'm like, it's hilarious that I was in that situation. Everything about that was a bad idea. And when I look at, you know, so I'm in my early 30s, and when I look at so many of things that feel like failure from, you know, my 20s, like, maybe I, how else was that story going to end? And, like, what was I expecting? And they are funny. They hurt a little bit still. But
sure.
But they're funny. I guess, for me, what would I tell someone who feels like they've failed or feels like they're a failure? I think saying that God loves you, as cliche as it is, like, it needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be said. And I think I would also say, like, you know, this is a great chance to reevaluate why you value what you value and how you got there in the first place. Is your failure, this is to go back to your original point, does your failure exist because your goal in the first place was an unworthy goal? Or does your failure exist because you're growing and life is difficult and because somebody didn't want to get out of bed on Sunday morning? Somebody else didn't want to get out of bed. You know, I would say, if you're feeling like a failure, take this chance to take stock. And be careful when you do that, because you don't want to ruminate. You don't want to beat yourself up. What you want to do is you want to surround yourself with voices that you can trust. People who are further down the road, people that know you but are far enough away to be objective, and help you talk through, okay, was this a failure? If so, what aspects should you have never done? What could you do differently next time? Maybe some deconstruction needs to be done. Maybe it's a failure because your goals aren't really in line with what you're coming to know about who God is and what the gospel is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. Like, I always want to be growing in my understanding of who God is. And I think failure is probably, it's the best tool I've found for learning that.
Yep, I agree.
That's all I got. Do you,
That's kind of all I got, too.
Do you feel like, we've tried to do this 3 times. Do you feel like this one's a failure?
No, I feel like we finally succeeded in recording our, failure podcast. Yay for us.
Huzzah! Right, well, I hope my mom enjoys it.
Yep, love you, Mrs. Chris's mom.
And Paul Cartwright, because we haven't mentioned him yet. I wonder what That's Paul true. Cartwright considers a failure. That guy, he's always so upbeat.
Yeah, it's like, are we done recording?
I don't know.
Oh, I felt like we were done. What was that?
Oh, I know what we should do. Hey, Kyle.
Yeah?
Yeah, how can people find out more or help us get the word out?
I don't know. This is your thing.
Oh, okay.
Do some Facebooky things.
Yeah.
Podcast, iTunes stuff. Oh,
that's great.
Google Machine. Tweet. Instagram. Ooh, let's do that. We should create a hashtag.
Ooh, a hashtag.
Yeah. Take a picture of yourself. Take a picture of yourself listening to our podcast and post it on Tweet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What's a good hashtag?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe just hashtag tear gas.
Yeah, how about that?
I'd be like, you, me, and Paul Cartwright have pictures with our headphones on, hashtag tear gas. Muffet face. Hey, that was a visual joke for
actually. Let's why don't we do that one? Why don't that be our tweet? Hashtag Muppet Face.
Hashtag Muppet Face. Okay, so starting over, guys. Here's a couple of ways you can help us get the word out. First off, subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already, and leave us a review. That is how iTunes decides to tell other people on iTunes about it. That's one great way. Another great way is to like us on Facebook. Just search Tear Gas and Gumdrops and you'll find us there. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Let's say that. Follow us on Twitter. Kyle, what's your Twitter? Do you still do Twitter?
I do. I think it's ShameGuard333. Maybe it's ShameGuard334.
No, you're 333.
Am I? Okay.
Yeah. And I'm Chris Morton 82.
I think I'm 334 on Instagram.
Yeah, that's it. That's awesome. Well, you guys can follow us on both. Good luck finding. I'm Chris Morton 82 on both of those. And but if you want to tell your friends about us, it'd be great, because we want to help other people know that they're not alone and they feel like failures. And we want to see your Muppet face. I think we're done. We're getting better at that.
Yep, we are. Yeah, I think that worked out well. I feel better about that one than I did the last one.